one of the hardest parts of celebrating Christmas and the Christmas season or the birth of King Jesus is maintaining our integrity through it all. It seems so many times like the world around us just has such an impact on our lives that after a little while we tend to lose the focus and we tend to lose that Christmas spirit and that Christmas joy. If you've ever been involved in retail sales, you can identify. We usually started our official Christmas season the day after Thanksgiving, but we had actually begun making wreaths and getting prepared to sell Christmas trees since the beginning of November. And usually by about this time every year in December, I was ready for Christmas to be over. We just, all the hoopla, all the rushing around, all the hard work that was involved. And I have to confess, in a way, we would lose our integrity through it all. And you would just seem to lose the real focus of what Christmas was all about. And it's easy. It just seems to happen in some way. But I want to share with you some words today from the Gospel of Matthew to see Joseph and to see how Joseph maintained his integrity in his situation. Integrity is defined by Webster's Dictionary as completeness, believe it or not. It's defined as being in an unimpaired condition. In other words, there's nothing, we don't let anything around us or anything happening to us impair how we feel, what we believe, what we do, or what we say. When something is impaired or we are impaired, we're made less, or I should say we're made worse because of that impairment. We think of someone having impaired vision. Their vision is less than complete, or it's worse than complete. And in our lives as human beings, integrity is a choice. We choose to do the right things in the right places at the right times. We choose to say the right things in the right places, the complete things at the right times to the right people. In the case of Matthew's gospel, we see Joseph. Joseph did the right thing. He did the godly thing. He did the thing that he knew God wanted him to do. Now, it's important to know a little bit here about this reading in the Gospel of Matthew, because Matthew's gospel is the only place where we read about this particular characteristic of Joseph, what happened with Joseph. And it's important because when you know why Matthew wrote this, you'd understand. Matthew was a Jewish tax collector. His purpose was to start out his gospel with the ancestry of Jesus, because the Messiah was supposed to be descend from Abraham through David and down through the line of David. So Matthew begins his gospel by giving you the lineage or the ancestry down through to Joseph. All right? Showing that Jesus would come through the line of David. That this king, this Messiah. And Matthew wrote his gospel to Jews because to the Jew they would understand this ancestry and what Matthew was about to say about Joseph. He begins by saying that this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. He says this after he talks about the ancestry of Jesus down through the years and how Jacob was the father of Joseph, Joseph being the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ or the Messiah. How there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ. And now he says this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, the technical term for this was a betrothal. They were betrothed. Luke tells us about this in chapter 1 and chapter 2, how they were betrothed. You see, they were not yet married, in other words. But betrothal in the Jewish culture was a sacred thing. It was a time period before the marriage of two people where they were together, and they were actually considered as a married couple already, but they officially hadn't gone through the ritual or through the motions. So they were not yet married. And Luke in chapter 2 tells us that Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem to register for the census. And Mary was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting. So here they were not yet married, but Mary was expecting. Well, we know what kind of condition that would have created, and the tension that would have created in the Jewish culture of that day. They were not yet married, but Mary was found to be with child. Today's text, it tells us about this. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, or as the King James Version says, he was a just man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Why? Why, if they were betrothed, they were to be married, would he think of doing such a thing, of divorcing her? Well, first of all, it tells us he was a righteous man. That would mean, or that would imply, that he acted in an upright manner in all that he did according to the Jewish customs and the Jewish culture. He would have been considered by the Jews as a righteous man, fulfilling the laws. He was a good guy. He did the right things. His mind was in the right place. His focus was in the right place. But you see, the tension this would have created had everyone found out publicly or knew publicly, there the two of them were betrothed to be married, but Mary was pregnant, expecting a child. She would have been considered an adulterer and been stoned to death in the Jewish culture. Joseph, being a righteous man, having his heart in the right place, knew that, and he did not want to disgrace her, so he chose or had in mind to just do that all quietly, not make a big deal about it. Hopefully nobody would understand or realize or know, and Mary's life would be spared. But also, Joseph had everything in the world to lose. This was a struggle for him. What am I going to do? Something has happened here, and I'm in a pickle. Joseph was a businessman. He was a carpenter. Matthew in chapter 13 describes Jesus as the carpenter's son. He was a carpenter. He would have had a good reputation. It says he was a righteous man. He had a good reputation in the community. But he had a lot to lose. He would have been publicly disgraced had he been hanging out with an adulteress. He had everything to lose by staying with her. So he thought about just doing it all quietly, just dissolving it, and maybe going off somewhere where nobody would even know and all would be forgotten. But you see what he did after he considered this. After he considered this a little bit, considered the situation and the tension it was creating in his life. That word considered in the Greek implies that he was inspirited. He thought about it. He pondered it. He probably prayed about it. And considered all this. Considered divorcing Mary. Considered what it would do to him if he didn't. Considered the tension that he was dealing with in his life and the pressure to do the right thing. What was the right thing? What would I have done? What would you have done? An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, because he'll save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. They'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In other words, the angel was saying to Joseph, "Listen, you're not the father. The Holy Spirit's the father, but you are still to marry Mary and to take her as your wife, because you're going to be part of naming that child, naming the Messiah, and raising him in a just and righteous way from a young age up and pointing him in the right direction." Imagine the impact that had on Joseph's life. But you see, he maintained his integrity through it all and did the right thing. When he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife and had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. and then he gave him the name Jesus. He didn't care what was going on around him. His choice to do the right thing, his actions were unimpaired by all the conditions, by all of the possibilities of public disgrace, losing his reputation, because I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Many times throughout the Christmas season, we will have to make a split decision to maintain our integrity in what we say and how we act. We're going to be with friends. We're going to be with family. We're going to be with people we don't know that we've just met. We're going to be sitting on the bleachers in sporting events, games with our friends and our fellow students. We're going to be traveling and meeting with others wherever we go. We're going to be in restaurants. We're going to be at Christmas parties. All with those, surrounded by those who don't believe what we believe, who are celebrating Christmas as a superficial, secular holiday. And I want to challenge you this morning to maintain your integrity for what you believe. Do the right thing. Say the right things of what you believe, that this is a celebration about the birth of Jesus Christ. And stand up for what we believe, because it's what He would want us to do. Sure, we're going to risk public disgrace. Sure, we're going to get laughed at as maybe holy rollers, churchgoers. They got religion. But I don't know about you, but I don't care. I'd rather do and say the will of God than be impaired by all this other stuff around us that tries to destroy our faith at Christmas time. In a split second, we're going to have to make the choice to say the godly, righteous things and maintain our integrity and be who God wants us to be. Those who are all part of proclaiming that all of this took place to fulfill what the prophet said, that a virgin will be with a child and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's a story I heard on the radio the other day that I think is so appropriate for Christmas time. It's a story about one of the girls that was killed in the Columbine massacre. As the gunman stood pointing the gun in this girl's face, he said to her, "Do you believe in God?" And you know what she did? She maintained her integrity. She said, "Yes, I do, and you should too." And he shot her. You know, we're going to be shot down. We're going to be shot down. But I want to challenge you folks to maintain your integrity. Stand up for the real reason for the season, that King Jesus was born. Do we believe? Well, you bet we do. So let's proclaim it as we maintain our integrity through the Christmas season. Her choice was the right choice. Joseph's choice was the right choice. And I pray that your choice in that split second, when you're challenged to maintain your integrity about what Christmas is all about, that you'll stand firm, because that's God's will at Christmas time. Let's pray.